When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No one's intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, 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 and welcome to the 89th episode of the Puckle TCG Cast with your host, Basket. Today we're going to talk about trainer cards, more specifically, ones we miss from previous rotations, and ones we want to leave or never return. With me today, I have the standard deviation of the summation notation, R Sigma.
Hey, I'm here.
And, cuando se va de podcast, triste me pongo, sublime manic.
Sabes que yo también me siento triste cuando me voy, you know? I feel that.
How have you guys been?
Good. You know why? It's Snap. It's Pokemon Snap. Pokemon Snap going to save the world, cure depression, and world hunger.
Snap is much better than I expected.
It's so good. I'm obsessed.
I've been kind of fighting with myself because I do want to buy it, but at the same time, I'm like, look, man, it's not a mainline series game, and you have other responsibilities.
That's fair. That's very fair. For me, I would rather have Pokemon Snap than Diamond Pearl remakes, and that's just me. I waited 20 years for this game, okay?
So, I have a confession to make. I never actually beat Diamond and Pearl, and I was actually really excited for them to remake it, and then when they said they weren't going to remake it, like a while ago, when everybody
was expecting it,
because I was actually kind of upset about it, and then now that they remade it, I'm like, wow,
maybe I didn't want it.
Yeah, maybe I didn't want it.
Oh, that's good.
And it's just, I mean, it's the graphics.
Same. I'm there with you.
I don't hate them.
I don't like it.
I mean, like, if people are into it, I'm very happy for them, and I'm not like against them, but I'm not into them.
Well, like, if they would have done the ones from the remake of, what was it, Link's Awakening, that would have been beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Even more toy-like, essentially.
Yeah, because it looks like you're playing in a world that's completely made out of clay, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like a much more, like, artistic expression of that sort of thing, as opposed to what we got.
Yeah, something a little more stylistic, like where it looks like you're playing a diorama or something like that. That would be cool.
Yeah, yeah. And let's not get into that. I can talk
that about part.
This is not about that.
I'm just saying, Pokemon Snap has been having me very entertained, and will continue to have me very entertained for a long time to come.
Awesome. All right. Well, I want you all to close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Feel the sun on your skin, the sand between your toes, and let that cool summer breeze ruffle those luscious locks as we visit Topical Beach.
Grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
All right, so we're back, and we're going to start with the ones that we miss. And I'm going to go ahead and start with Guzma, which, if you guys are new, it's basically the funky Lysander. Or I guess it's Boss's Orders now.
Yeah.
You get to choose which Pokemon the opponent would switch into the active, but you also have to switch one of your active as well. This was a really fun shakeup to the standard Lysander, and it worked well with a few decks at the time. There's actually a deck or two right now that it would probably work well with, right?
I was going to say, yeah, Urshifu and, like, Dragapult V before you evolve it to the VMAX. Both do more damage if it enters the active that turn. So, yeah.
How did you guys feel about the Guzma?
Plus, any deck that has something with zero retreat cost, it just gives you a lot of control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. When it originally came on the format, I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But that was just because I didn't understand everything that it could do. You know,
oh, yeah.
How useful it actually was.
I remember being disappointed in seeing it. It's like, it's not quite Boss's Orders. And then it's like, oh, no, it's better than Boss's Orders in a lot of cases.
All right. And we will move on to the next one, Sigma.
Yeah, let's talk about Battle Compressor, which was a Team Flare gear for anyone who remembers the three sets those were in.
And yet, we all do, because everyone uses Battle Compressor.
Oh, it's such a strong card in Expanded.
It's, yeah.
All it does is say, search your deck for three cards and put them in the discard pile. And that's all it does. But oh boy, is it powerful. It's strong for decks like Night March or Mad Party nowadays, because you don't play Night March anymore. Sad, but it's the same thing with more a higher power ceiling. So it was in the format at the same time as BS Seeker, which is one of the most powerful item cards we've ever seen.
Truly. Oh, yeah. Oh my god, VS Seeker.
You get to play one of trainer cards and be able to get them whenever you want with that powerful card. Like, Basket's going to talk about it next, but it's a very powerful card. It gets rid of cards you don't need for matchups. That's another thing Battle Compressor does. It's like, oh, these cards are useless in this matchup. Let's toss them out. So I never have to top deck them.
Yeah, it was incredibly, incredibly helpful. Like, not only did it help decks like Night March and Vespaquin and now Mad Party, but it was just like, okay, I need to get this card. What do? Okay, I can thin my deck right now. Mm-hmm. Like, these are not important to me. This is, you know, the last few turns of the game. I need to get what I need right now. And I know there's one in there. Let's thin the herd.
I mean, it basically lets you play with a much smaller deck size, which increases consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Battle Compressor.
And that's without the next card, which made it even better. Go ahead, Sublime.
For sure. So we got to talk about VS Seeker. Oh, you know, I once pulled a secret rare VS Seeker, and I'm so sad I can't use it in Standard. Wow. Yeah, it was the, like, the different coloration.
Yeah, the golden one.
Yeah, I have a gold VS Seeker on TCGO. I love it. Anyway.
I think it was from Soaring Skies or whatever it was, the mm-hmm. Shaman set. So, like, mm-hmm. sometimes you accidentally opened it when you were going for Shaman.
Yeah. Yeah, all it does is it puts a supporter from your discard into your hand, and that is so huge because you could run four of it, and all of a sudden the supporter game for deck building was so different during that format. You only really needed one of anything that was like a tech, like get out, like for situations
like Pokemon Ranger.
Exactly, it's like you really only need to run one. You battle compress it, and you could use it for four times, essentially.
Oh, teammates, too?
Oh, there were so many good things to do with VS Seeker. But I've actually heard some people... I love it. I get it. It's so convenient. I've seen some, like more pro-ish kind of players complain about it, saying that it makes it a format where skill matters less.
Eh.
And I'm like, I guess, if that's, like, something you care about, which I guess some people do. But it's so convenient. It was great. It's a great engine. Yeah, it was great to play.
Yeah, and in Legacy, they had Junk Arm, which was discard two cards, and then search the discard pile for a trainer card, and show it to your opponent, and then put it into your hand. And that was, like, I mean, I never played with it, obviously, because I was not playing the Legacy.
That reminds me of a base set card, but I forget what it's called.
I believe it, I don't know if it was base set necessarily, but like it was a very, very, very early card. It just said trainer card on it, I think.
Yeah, there was a, it was Item Finder.
Item Finder could have been it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been Item Finder. I think that was like a base set or like Jungle and Fossil type era card.
Yeah.
So it's good to see how they reinterpret those.
Yeah, and I thought, like, honestly, I think this is kind of a Junk Arm. If they brought it back, I think it would be a little bit, I would actually really like that, you know, being able to thin your hand and then search for a trainer card so it doesn't have to necessarily be a supporter. And then, yeah, I mean, I think it it opens it up a little bit, and then it also has a cost, but the cost could also help you too. So I kind of like cards like that.
Oh yeah, Junkarb is super good in any format it's allowed in.
I mean, they reprinted it essentially as a powered down ace spec. That's how powerful it was, right?
It's very strong.
Yeah, because Dowsing Machine exists.
Yeah. All right. Now we're going to talk about something that I was actually excited to find out. These are also, well, I think they're Legacy, or no. They were in, I think they were like during the fourth gen cards, but they had trainer card TMs. The player would attach the technical machine to an eligible Pokemon, and it was eligible based on the correct typing. And they would use that attack, and then the TM would be discarded. I think it would be really cool for them to... I mean, we kind of have the same sort of idea with the scrolls, but I would like this to be a regular thing that was based on typing. You know, so like any fire Pokemon could have this TM card there.
Didn't they try doing it with... they did something similar with Z-Crystals. The Z-Crystals as well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was like... What were they doing?
That might have been with moves? Like, if you had a certain move, you could use it?
Yeah. It was move-based. It's like, if you have Air Slash...
If you have Tackle... Right, very that.
Or Dragon... There were only three, and the other one was a Dragon move, and nobody used it because, like, Dragons already have such a weird requirement to want to play it with.
But, I think the utility of, like, one-off TM uses, or, you know, obviously there would be ways around it with, like, if you could pull from your discard pile, but... Yeah, I think the utility of, like, extra statuses or different Pokemon that normally wouldn't be able to have a reasonable attack, I think that's something that could shake up the meta in a really fun way, you know? Like, maybe you have a Pokemon out there that you're like, okay, well, crap, I can't let my main attacker die, so you switch that out there, and then bam, you draw a TM, and you're like, oh, man, this is game-changing, you know? And you can, like, knock it out for the... Like, that's fun. That's really cool to me.
I mean, if you think about it, Genesect EX basically had to do something that was also the equivalent of this. And it won Worlds, like, three times!
It had to do that with A-Specs. So you got one.
True.
You got one.
But yeah, I think it's a concept that they keep, like, trying in different ways. And it would be good for them to... I think that would be cool for them to explore more consistently.
We have scrolls right now. Those are kind of similar.
Yeah.
I think they're better than Z-Crystals were, that for sure.
That's fair. I mean, that's not a high bar, though.
Yeah. But I'm most excited for it to be just, like, purely based on typing, though, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I thought was so cool about them.
Yeah.
Limiting it to one Pokemon or only Pokemon with certain moves or something like that. Like, that, I don't know. That doesn't open it up the way that would be fun.
I don't mind it being archetype-based or type-based.
I don't mind Single Strike and Rapid Strike being the prerequisite, right? Like, that's fine.
But I'd like to see other types of decks get cards, like, similar in function
as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, I think that's an easier way than worrying about, like, giving a certain type this attack, right? It's like, everything of this type gets this attack. It's like, oh, well, you can't make it too strong or it's just too good, right? It's a concern. So, like, I understand hesitancy there.
Yeah, I get that. At the same time, though, like, I don't know. I think it would make... It would shift things up exponentially, I think, because then you could have... or, like, maybe it has to replace one of the attacks on the... Like, it replaces the top attack or the bottom attack or something like that. And that could be a good way to kind of even it out.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Ace Specs.
Yeah, Ace Specs were a fun, like, second half of Gen 5 mechanic, I believe, is where they first showed up. And what they do is you only have one of this card type in your entire deck, so it was even more restrictive than Prism Stars.
Yeah, Prism is you can have one copy of that card. Ace Specs is your deck can only have one Ace Spec.
Yeah, there were a few, like, ones. Like,
there were a lot of ones.
Like, both Kyurem forms got items. No one cared. Genesect got an equipment. It used that. I don't think anyone used Rocky Shield or whatever as much. But the good ones were like...
I never even heard of that one. So
Computer Search was the best one, without question.
Computer Search was the best one.
Yeah, because you could put it in any deck and it would be good.
Yeah. Computer Search might have been too good. Nowadays, Cyclone Scoop Up gets to see a little more play because with VMAXs and tag teams taking so much damage, just scooping it up lets you... stop your opponent from getting three prizes and you let something else go out into the active. So that one's seeing more play nowadays. Dowsing Machine, always strong, lets you discard two cards, and it is any supporter or any trainer card from your discard.
Oh, okay.
I looked it up. It's Trainer. So it is good. It's strong. They probably did it because Junkar might have been in, like, it might have been in a format with it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it might have had to change the name to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Junkarm was probably... I know Junkarm's online, so it was in Heart Gold Soul Silver sets, so there might have been a standard where they were together. Master Ball let you go find any Pokemon?
No requirements, no questions, no discard.
Urlife Dew was a tool that Sableye abused and expanded for the longest time until it was finally banned, which reduced the number of prizes you took.
Life Dew was awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Life Dew. I would have it on my Vespiquen deck because everybody at the time was running EXs, and it was like, I don't know, like it was fun to just be like, it's like they would have such a hard time going up against, you know, my one prize deck, and they would just be like, oh yeah, actually you don't get a prize this time.
But yeah, Aspects were just a really fun archetype, and it let you add spice, a powerful spice that was fairly limited, so I enjoyed them.
Yeah, it wasn't completely oppressive.
Yeah, they were your ace. It was cool. It was like, oh, I got my ace back, and that's like a powerful card. It's exciting.
Yeah. They're exciting to draw. They're exciting to play. They're usually going to do something.
I mean, if you're only allowed one, obviously they scale them in terms of power pretty well for that most of the time.
Yeah, except for Kegrim items.
Yeah, no. But it's okay, because Genesect, you know, he be carrying their weight for them.
I think there was some kind of potion, too.
Master Potion. No, it was, it basically healed everything. Yeah, it was a Max Potion. No, it wasn't Max. Was it Max?
Was it Gold Potion?
Yeah, it might have been called, like, Gold Potion or something. Because it just healed you entirely, no questions asked, no punishment.
But you only got one. It wasn't like Max Potion.
Right, yeah, because Max Potions had, like, drawbacks. And this was a no questions asked full heal, yeah. All the healing.
Yeah, Max Potion was, kill all the energy on your Pokemon to play it.
Which, to me, never, ever, ever, ever made me want to ever play that card.
I mean, low attack requirement Pokemon were worth using it on.
Hey, Sublime.
Yes.
You want to talk about the Toad Gun?
Yeah, let me talk about when I wake up and choose violence. It's called Hypnotoxic Laser. And it was a very cantankerous, hateful, unkind card. But it's not Crushing or Enhanced Hammer, so it's not like I'm that bad, okay? Hypnotoxic Laser was from the Plasma era, which is one of my favorites. Plasma Freeze is one of my favorite sets of all time in terms of art. I love the theme, and all the cards are frozen. But Hypnotoxic Laser, what it did was it poisoned your opponent's active, so you could use an item to inflict a status condition, which is fabulous. But on top of that, you flipped a coin, and if it was a heads, they were also put asleep. So you guarantee one status, and you have a 50% shot at inflicting two statuses with an item! That's bonkers. It's really unique. And at the time, Verbank City Gym was a card in the same format.
Yes.
So Verbank City Gym, of course, would boost poison damage by 20.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you're inflicting guaranteed 30 damage if you have Verbank and Hypnotoxic Laser. It was really big for math. It was really opened up a lot of unique status strategies. We know everyone always wants to try and make poison work. This was a big part of that, and I miss it. It was fun.
I mean, it's like the best flippy card there's ever been, right?
Yeah.
Because
it does something regardless, is the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you always get poison. You always get poison, and that's fine. I'm amazed we haven't seen another item in a long time where it's just like, yeah, poison your opponent. Like, it doesn't need the flip for sleep, and I think it would probably see a little bit of play, right?
There was a, they might be hesitant because there was a lot of hate for Hypnotoxic Laser plus Verbank, and then you'd have the Seismitoad and Seismitoad Golbats, or sorry, Seismitoad Bats, and then so it would be like he would hit you for 30. It was like the death of a thousand cuts. You know, it was like he'd hit you for 30, I think it was.
30 or 50 with like a muscle band.
Oh yeah, that's right. 50 with muscle band. And then your opponent couldn't use item cards on their next turn.
I loved that Seismitoad. I miss that Seismitoad.
It was awesome.
Vikavolt is close. Not the same, though.
But it was... nothing's ever been quite like it.
Like, you can set up the turn one Vikavolt, but it takes work, unlike Seismitoad did. It's like, just slap a DCE on and you're good to go.
Yeah. All right. So we will now move on to the ones that we want to leave. or ones we want never to return. And we'll start with Reset Stamp. Everybody playing the TCG knows what Reset Stamp does now, but just in case you're new or you just like listening to the podcast because I'm your favorite person ever, your opponent shuffles their hand into their deck and draws a card for each of their remaining prize cards. So this one is troublesome.
Yes.
Because it basically, if your opponent is ahead, like, it can help you with a really cool comeback. But a lot of games, you're trading. So if you put it down at the right time, you're basically just, like, kneecapping the opponent, essentially.
So I don't know if I hate this more than I hate, like, a turn one Marnie from them. Like, if you go first and you get turn one Marnie'd on their first turn, it's like...
Hateful. It's like red card. It's like red card.
It's like, I wish N was here. I wish both of those cards were out and we had N instead. Because N feels fair, right?
Yeah. N was a very fair card. Yes, it was annoying when you were ready to go on your next turn and your opponent's just like, oh, hey, I'm pretty sure that you're going to beat me. So I'm going to N and just, you know, put it up to Arceus to, you know, decide the victor, basically.
Right? It's like, and even Ace Trainers was semi-fair, right? I liked Ace Trainers. You could only play it if you were behind on prizes, but both players would shuffle. Player that was ahead got 3 cards, the player behind got 6 cards. And that was a semi-balanced card, though I think N was still better.
Yeah, Reset Stamp is, just because it's a card for each of their remaining prize cards, is more terrifying than N ever was, because it's like,
I mean, it's N in an item form, so they still get to play another supporter that turn, right?
Exactly. And yeah, and they get less, because N was, it was you shuffle and draw 6 every time.
No, it shuffled and they would get however many prizes.
Oh, you're right.
Had.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a double-edged sword. Like, if you're doing N does worse. But at the beginning of the game, it doesn't punish them like Marnie does. It's like, oh yeah, we both have 6 cards in hand. That's fine.
Yes.
Whereas Marnie's like, no, you go down to 4, and those cards that you drew aren't the cards you're going to be drawing. So it's like, oh.
All right. Let's move on to, I think, Sigma's most hated card in the format right now.
Yeah, Crushing Hammer.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Crushing Hammer with the heads is like, oh, okay. I gotta be real lucky to win this game now. Just for a 50-50 chance. It's like, oh, cool.
It's bad luck. It brings bad factors of luck into the game.
So the thing is, I don't think it's a bad card to have in a format, right? Like, it's a bad card to be popular in a format because it just feels bad.
I prefer, like, I wish they'd do more stuff like Enhanced Hammer instead of Crushing Hammer.
I think Enhanced Hammer is perfectly fine. It's like,
exactly. I like Enhanced Hammer.
If they're being greedy and playing Special Energy.
Exactly. There's counterplay. Crushing Hammer, you can't do anything about.
Exactly.
And it feels bad, man.
What I think the real issue with Crushing Hammer is right now is that there's so many ways to refill your hand without supporters, and you get benefits for having a low hand size. It's like, oh, okay, I play the Crushing Hammer if I get Tails. Oh, well, I get to draw an extra card on my Crobat, or I was going to discard it anyway with Dedenne. So you're not getting punished for your Crushing Hammers right now, and that's probably what pushes it to be so strong. Because when it's like a Team Flare Grunt, where it's like once per turn, it took their supporters for the turn, it's like, okay, you at least put themselves back. But here it's like, sometimes they get dead draws, but usually they can get out of it with a Dedenne or a Crobat, and it doesn't matter. Or a Professor's Research. So strong.
Yeah, I think that Team Flare Grunt is a very, very fair card.
Team Flare Grunt is very fair.
You get a little bit of a boost because it's energy, period, and it's 100% going to happen. But it's a supporter.
It's
so
only on the active, too, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay. Like, it should be a evergreen card like Professor's Research and Boss's Orders is now. It's like, oh, yeah, Villainous Grunt.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Now let's move on to, where are we? I just lost where we were. Oh, yeah, Patches. Sublime, tell us about Patches.
Patches! Okay, so y'all probably heard of a card called Metal Saucer.
Metal Saucer might be too good. Just because metal support is so dumb.
Yeah, right. It really centers. Like, it came at the right time. But before there was Metal Saucer, there was Water Patch. And before there was Water Patch, for the OGs, there was Dark Patch. And they all do the same thing. They're all just type specific. What they do is you are able to attach an energy of a specific type to one of your Pokemon. And it's energy acceleration as an item. And we love to see it. And it's energy acceleration from the discard. So then you have all your discard synergy cards. Oh, compression, battle compressor. Oh, here, let me get some patch for it. It's so good. Patches are so good. Oh, were you playing in a format with Ultra Ball? Let me discard that energy and then patch it. And all of a sudden you have something with two or three energy turn one. And it was great. Patches are always super fun.
I kind of miss Max Elixir. That was a fun one too.
I enjoyed Max Elixir as well.
It's like, look at the top seven, and if you put a basic from there onto a bench Pokemon, it's like, that's a good card. And every deck could use it.
All right, and we'll move on to our final card. We've got Lysandre's Trump card. For those of you who don't know anything about this card, this was just, it was absurd. Each player shuffles all cards in their discard pile back into their deck, except Lysandre's Trump card. For those of you who don't know, this card was the epitome of oppression when it was on its heyday. The games lasted forever.
I feel like it got banned super fast after being printed, though. It was pretty quick. It was, like, pretty damn quick.
It's like, oh, this was a mistake.
Yeah, and thankfully, I got into the TCG right after it got banned, so I never had to experience it in play, but I heard all the horror stories. Just draw, discard, draw more. Discard more, get the card you want, draw more, discard more, get Lysandre, use it again, draw more, discard more, get Lysandre back again, and now you can, and now you're just prepared for the next turn, and you can do it all over again. It was completely and utterly absurd. And what was the deck that it ran with that just destroyed everybody? Was it the Seismitoad deck?
I'm gonna look that up.
Because that thing was just absurd.
Well, it was during the Night March format, and it just destroyed Night March. And I think they were trying to sell Night March at the time, too. So they said, you gotta go.
Yeah.
We got cards to sell.
Yeah, it was crazy, too. Because, Night March was like, it was the best way to get into the TCG. That was my second deck. I think it was my first deck was Night March, because it was so cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was a huge fan of it for that reason.
So then do we have the, do we know?
I am not finding it, so maybe we'll have it at the beginning of the next segment. We're at the end of the show.
All right. Okay, well, you heard it here. All right, we'll move on to the next segment.
Before you march as a titan, do not be ashamed of the fear inside you. Embrace it as you witness the Venusaur best!
Look, you guys, it's a Venusaur!
All right, and we're back with the Venusaur best. Sigma, what's your choice?
All right, my choice is Greedy Dice from, I believe, it was the end of XY era. It was Steam Siege, I think. But what it does is nothing, unless you take it from your prizes, in which case you get to flip a coin, and if you get a heads, you take an extra prize. Good times.
There was a card, I think, that let you switch your prizes out.
I think we got that.
So, like, you could go through so much effort if you were, like, to try it. It's just such a giant waste of resources and time and effort for such enough.
And at, like, the same time, you had that card that you could flip your, you could see,
prizes face up.
All of your prize cards would be face up.
Town map.
And like, so it was map. Like there were plenty of people who were trying to make that work and, like, get some monicum of consistency, but it was just never able to, like,
it was never worth it. It was never a good use of your resources, but the amount of effort people would go to be like, but if you do this and this and this and this and this,
then you get
and I'm like, you know what? For all that effort, you could have got a KO. Yeah.
Right.
Go VH yourself.
All those cards you're playing trying to get 3D dice in there and to know which one to draw. Like, I'm already killing, like, three of your Pokemon. Or, sorry, knocking out three of your Pokemon.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, you could have spent all those cards energy accelerating or something.
And it's a...
But no.
It's a notable card right now, because recently in Japan, they revealed for their EV Hero set, which who knows when we're getting that, whether it's going to be our special fall set or our regular fall set. But a card in there is Dream Ball, which has a similar effect. It only activates when you take a prize. But when you take it, you can reveal it and use it to get any Pokemon onto your bench.
Is it when you take it as a prize, or is it just
when you take it as a prize?
Okay.
But that means you can get, like, a stage 2 in play with it. So I don't think it's good, though. I still don't think it's good.
Well, that's why I still want a Venusaur best.
All right, Sublime.
Let me tell you about a time in history where, I don't know, what I guess the Pokemon Company was on one, okay? Mega Evolutions. Mega Evolutions, you know, they were trying to tie in a new mechanic into the TCG, but when you Omega Evolved a Pokemon, and they were all EXs, your turn ended. Just fully. Your turn did end, you did not no attack, and that's really, really, really bad. It was really bad for momentum. TCG was a very, very fast format at the time. So they're saying that, oh, no one's playing decks with our Mega Evolutions. What's up with that? They're supposed to be the stars. It was because of the mechanics they chose to put in the game. So what did they do as their quote-unquote solution? Spirit Links. So Spirit Links were a tool that had to be equipped to a specific Pokemon to be useful at all.
But you couldn't have tools other than that.
Yeah, so now it's costing you a real tool that actually
and
helps.
And you have to get it into your hand before you can evolve it, or else you end your turn.
It's messy. Oh, it's like, there's so much red tape around it.
It really hurt when you were opening booster packs and you opened a Spirit Link, because it's like, I could care less about this card. Like, this is...
Fully. And they were uncommons, too, so that hurt. Anyway, Spirit Links, what they did was when you Mega Evolved, if it was equipped already, your turn didn't end. So then, okay, you didn't end your turn. Now you're stuck with the Spirit Link, and you can't have to get rid of it to equip something else. It's just, okay, but I actually chose Spirit Links because there's a Venusaur Spirit Link, so it's literally trying its Venusaur Spirit Link best.
All right.
Oh no.
So my pick is Thoughtwave Machine. It's Rocket's secret machine, also in parentheses. Basically, you flip a coin until you flip tails, and then you choose a number of energy cards attached to your opponent's active Pokemon equal to the number of heads, and return them to your opponent's hand. That in itself is really wordy, and it's kind of odd, but it's like, okay, it has to be the active, that's fine, it'll stop them from attacking me, blah, 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 but you're returning it to their hand, and you're like, well, okay, they can just, you know, slowly put them back on, so it's not discarding, so that's not that great either. Plus, it's a 50% chance to even see if you can even do one. And then, on top of that, at the end, they tack on, your turn is now over. Mm-hmm. So... basically, when you play this card, you have a 50% chance to end your turn instantly without doing anything, making it the premier card for just doing nothing. I mean, it's literally probably the worst card ever. And I'm putting it on Venusaur best because it's it's Rocket's secret machine, and apparently they're trying really, really hard. So, we can only ask them to do their very Venusaur best, and this is it, folks. This is it. All right. Thank you all for listening to our show today. Sigma, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Oh, I can explain the Lysander's Trump card decks right now, too.
Oh, yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So, I found them. There were two versions of the deck. And apparently they lasted, like, almost an entire year before they had to, like, get axed. Because they lasted as long as Shaymin took to get out. And that was almost a year after Phantom Forces came out. So, there was a version that played Shaymin and Seismitoad EX. Both of them used Seismitoad EX to shut your opponent off of items. They also had a ton of Crushing Hammers, Hypnotoxic Lasers... Mm-hmm. Anything that flips super scoop ups, so you got your support Pokemon off of your bench, like your Jirachi EXs at the time, which would find your Lysander's Trump card. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And then there was also a version with Slurpuff, and I don't really know what Slurpuff does. But that was the other version of the deck. And
I think it lets you draw one or two cards.
Got it.
Per turn. So it was another form of draw, like a lot of draw.
Yeah, the Slurpuff.
I think if it was the active, you drew two. If it was passive in the bench, it was one.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, you would draw everything, and and then play Lysander's
You'd be able
card.
To draw through your deck with Shamans or Slurpuff, and then just play Lysander's trump card to put all your flippy cards back. Your opponent's not able to play the game because you're shutting them down from playing item cards. You have red card at the time, too. You have to limit their hand size. So, yeah, just very toxic decks to be playing.
100%. Well, thank you guys so much for showing up. Thank you for doing this, Sigma. I always appreciate your input.
Yeah, it was fun.
Sublime, a pleasure as always, sir.
Well, you know, now that things are opening up, we got to catch up in person soon.
Oh, yeah, son.
Oh, yes. It's going to be yeah.
West Coast party. All right. So, and thank you to the listeners, most of all, for listening to the podcast. We love you guys. Take it easy.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.